Think advertising on TikTok isn't for your business? Think again.
We've generated over 100,000 leads, which has converted into over 40,000 sales for our pet insurance policies. My name is Trey Farrow. I am the CEO of Spot Pet Insurance. TikTok's Smart Plus AI-powered automation takes the guesswork out of targeting, bidding, and optimizing creative. If I can advertise on TikTok, you can too.
Drive more leads and scale your business today, only on TikTok. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTok ads.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. It is the John Chuckery Show coming to you live on this Monday evening as we get ready for the NBA draft coming up Thursday. Don't forget, we'll be at State Farm Arena. Myself, Deshaun Tate, Caleb Johnson. We will all be there at State Farm for the Atlanta Hawks draft party. So come on, get a ticket and come on out to State Farm Arena and join us. Let's head out to the WadeFord.com hotline. Let's talk about the NBA draft with Kevin Sweeney. He's college basketball and NBA draft writer for Sports Illustrated. SI.com is where you can check out all of his work. And he is on Twitter at @CBB_Central. Kevin, really appreciate a few minutes with us tonight. Thanks for joining us in Atlanta.
Yeah, appreciate you having me, guys.
Let's start with the Hawks pick at 15. You know, this looks like a pick that whatever player it is, and I really don't even care what the name is on the back of the jersey, this feels like one of those picks that's going to end up in the G League pretty quickly, given the fact that the Hawks have so many guys under contract, and they do have a plethora of young players that are on the roster actively. It feels like their pick at 15 is more kind of just let that kid go to College Park, play for the Skyhawks, and let him develop from there.
It's right in that weird range where if it was in the 20s, you feel really confident in saying that. At 15, it's a chance you can get a pretty good player. And I think if you're the Hawks, you're hoping to get some long-term upside there, whether that's a guy who can play right away or a guy who needs more seasoning. If I was Atlanta, though, I think I'd be trying to swing for, can we find that extra starter in a couple of years that could really help us down the line on a cheap contract?
Do you think that there's any chance that the Hawks could move either direction, whether they look at moving up in the draft or whether they look down? I mean, what are you kind of hearing about potential Hawks rumors about, you know, going either direction, or are they content just to kind of stay at 15?
I mean, everyone's talking this time of year. I haven't necessarily heard the Hawks is like a leader to move up or down, but I think there's a real chance that things get a little crazy here in the first 5 to 8 picks, and if that happens, there could be quite a bit of trickle down the draft that could impact the Hawks.
Do you think that there are teams that are actually looking to – I mean, look, if we know that the number one pick is set in stone, does that encourage teams to want to draft higher? Or, you know, because, again, you know, you're not going to get the best player, arguably, in the draft. Are teams scared off from trading high up into the draft?
I don't necessarily think they're scared off, because I think there's three other guys that I think most teams really value and have – most teams believe have a chance to have like a high level of success in the NBA, and that would be Scoot Henderson from G League Ignite, Amen Thompson from Overtime Elite, and Brandon Miller from Alabama. I think you've seen the Pelicans have been very vocal about wanting to move up and potentially get Scoot at 2 or 3. I think he will be the clearest target of a lot of teams trying to move up, but I wouldn't be surprised at all to see movement in the top four to get their hands on one of those big name prospects. It's not just a Wemby draft, and that's the common narrative, and he's really, really good. He's transcendent, but I think there's really, you know, there is strength at the top of this board outside of him that teams will want to attack.
Kevin Sweeney joining me here on the WadeFord.com hotline. College hoops writer and NBA draft writer for SportsIllustratedSI.com, so we can check out all of his work. So you mentioned Brandon Miller, and obviously I guess there's baggage that goes along with that pick. But, you know, at the end of the day, is it just a matter of talent wins out? I mean, I know he didn't get in any trouble, but obviously the optics of the situation at Alabama are going to follow him around. But is it just a matter of the talent is too great to pass on him, or is anybody potentially scared off by some of the off-the-court things that went on?
I think teams have done their due diligence and don't seem all that concerned, right? I think everyone would agree that Brandon Miller made a bad decision that day. But in terms, I don't think from the people I've spoken to around the league that there's a feeling that he's a bad person or a person that you don't want to bring into your locker room or is a risk long term. I think people, for the most part, have thought that he's a really hardworking guy, a good kind of piece to add to your locker room overall. That incident, obviously, you know, horrible what happened, but his involvement was rather minor, kind of in the grand scheme of that incident. Unfortunately, when you're talking about someone's life, that's, you know, it's tragic, and it's something that every team has discussed and tried to discuss with him. But I think for the most part, it won't be something that holds back his stock on draft night.
So how set are we that – is there any – I mean, obviously, it's Wemby 1, and you mentioned three other players. Is there any other dark horse candidates that could sneak in to that top, let's say, 2 through 4? I mean, you know, is there anybody besides those three guys that you're looking at that might be a dark horse to get into the top 3-4 picks?
I think the one you'd probably highlight is Cam Whitmore from Villanova. He's this big, explosive wing who can really make shots. Didn't have the best year in college, but he's just so talented. And I think a guy that, depending on what happens with the first 2 to 3 picks, he could be on the board at 4. I think there's a real chance that he winds up number 4, and then that drops Amon Thompson to number 5 or even 6 at Orlando, which I think is probably his 4.
You mentioned some of the guys that are looking at being drafted, and when you look at besides Wemby, who do you think has the highest upside? Who do you think has that really high ceiling that could be the next most dominant player in the draft?
I think the next highest ceiling is probably MN Thompson from Overtime Elite. I mentioned him a bit earlier, but he is 6'7". His upside is that he could be a point guard, and he is an elite athlete. Like, he is the best athlete in this draft class. He might be the best athlete in the last 10 years. I mean, it's him and Zion Williamson, in my mind, in terms of the level of athleticism and the level of functional athleticism, how he's able to use that in a game. Now, he hasn't necessarily played at the highest level, right? He's coming from, you know, essentially directly from high school. And so that will be a huge adjustment for him. His shot needs work. That's the question mark. But if he becomes a consistent outside shooter, to go with his ability to defend multiple positions, his ability to get downhill, he has a chance to be a really, really special NBA player.
You know, when you look at some of these players, you know, again, Victor, you know, Wemby is from France. Scoot Henderson is from G League Ignite. I mean, you know, it's not necessarily some of the, you know, traditional blue blood college players. I mean, is there now becoming a different pathway for guys to the NBA to increase their stock, or, you know, is still the old fashioned way of being, you know, in a blue blood program the best way to go?
I mean, I think the biggest thing is that there's just so many more avenues. It's not necessarily that one is better than the other. I think there's been mixed bag with G League so far. Some of the Overtime Elite stuff is too early to really tell, but some guys have raised their stocks. Some guys have struggled, and that has hurt them. Obviously, overseas is a growing and continue to grow in terms of its influence. I think the biggest thing is that kids really have options now, and NBA teams are scouting earlier and earlier. Like, there will be, you know, and there will be affiliations from all 30 NBA teams at Peach Jam, Nike's big recruiting event this summer. And they will be watching not just 17 new players who are a year away from college. They're going to be watching 15 and 16-year-olds getting ready for future draft classes. And so there's long-term planning. And because of that, I think teams feel confident that even if a kid chooses maybe the road less traveled, they've seen them in other contexts and feel pretty good about the guys they're getting.
Kevin Sweeney, college basketball writer, NBA draft writer for SportsIllustratedSI.com, joining me here on the WaitForIt.com hotline. Who's one of those late first round sleeper picks that you're looking at? Who's one of those guys that could really end up being a high level player that maybe you get in that 20, you know, to 30 type of range?
Yeah, I mean, I thought, you know, what Christian Brown did in the postseason for Denver this past year is a model of like what every team in the 20s is looking to draft, which is a guy that has some upside long term, but is really able to come in and help you right away. And I think this year that guy is Omax Prosper from Marquette. He's a 6'7" long athletic wing who can guard multiple positions. He makes threes, and he's just low maintenance. Like, he's going to come into an NBA game, you're never going to have to drum up a play. He's going to find ways to impact the game with his ability to defend, with his ability to keep the ball moving, with his ability to make shots and cut. I mean, he's just a really smart basketball player. He's gotten better every year. I mean, his development arc has been pretty crazy to watch. And so he was a guy that I think coming into the draft process, people thought, oh, maybe he could be late second round. Now it's late first, and it wouldn't even be shocking if he was off the board 18, 19 in this draft.
You know, it's funny because, you know, talking about Denver, talking about the Celtics, talking about Golden State, you know, they find players that even when you're drafting in the, you know, 20s to 30s, fit what they want to do. You know, is, you know, again, outside of the stars, you know, in the NBA, are teams smarter or are players better about just fitting a role for a team that you don't have to? I mean, it's not like the NFL where you expect to draft somebody who can even be a difference maker at 25 or whatever like that. But it seems like they're, when the good teams draft in that position, they find guys that are role players that do exactly what they want to do.
Yeah, I mean, I think the best organizations just have an incredible pulse on what guys can help you immediately and what guys will fit into your culture. And I think the best players in the NBA fit into multiple systems that are able to help you because, you know, some of the same skill sets translate regardless of whether you're playing with Steph Curry or Nikola Jokic or Jason Tatum, right? They're three very different players. But as a role player, how you impact winning is how you do things without the ball, how you defend. And I think those guys are really put a premium on it in today's NBA. I think obviously scouting makes a huge difference, and that's like, you know, that is truly where you move the needle. And when you want to win championships, you have to make really good moves at the margins, right? Like, obviously it's great to land a Jokic in the second round, but that's not likely to happen a lot of times. But when you're Denver and you land Christian Brown with a late first round pick and he helps you, and Bruce Brown kind of off the waiver wire and he really, really helps you, like, those small moves are the things that add up to winning championships. And I think that's what every team in the NBA is trying to replicate.
So how big of a can't miss is Victor Wembanyama? I mean, how much? I mean, look, Zion is a really good player, but he can't stay on the court and he can't stay healthy. And it doesn't matter how good of a player you are. If you miss 55 games a year, you're not impacting your basketball team. How good can this guy be at number one? How, and again, I think he's going to the right organization with, you know, Pop and the San Antonio Spurs, but I mean, how limitless is his ceiling right now?
I mean, he can be transcendent because he has the skill set of, you know, some of the best wings we've seen in the NBA with, not just center size, like one of the biggest players immediately in the NBA at 7'4", 7'5". Like he does things when you watch games at really high levels. I mean, he's playing in France against teams that have 5, 6, 7 former NBA players and just dominating still. And yes, there will be clips taken out of context where he gets kind of shoved under the basket and beat up because he's not as big and strong as everyone else. But his overall impact on the game is just immense. So I think outside of injury, it's very hard to envision him failing. The only, you know, the only caveat, obviously, is that the expectations are now so high that anything but, you know, 7, 8, 9-time All-Star in his career, people are going to consider as a disappointment. But to me, like, I wouldn't be at all surprised if he reaches that ceiling and then not only that, but smashes through it. I think the hype is fully justified with Victor Wembanyama.
Is that still the knock and the hype that players that come from overseas aren't as tough, aren't as physical? I mean, you know, that was always the mantra about the soft European players that come over and play. Is that still a thing, or, you know, are guys now getting away from that kind of narrative or that label that's been put on them?
I think for the most part, we've gotten away from it. I mean, obviously some organizations are going to hold certain, you know, certain things, you know, more important than others, but I think with Victor, the biggest concern is just his frame, right? Like, I think it's less so, is he tough enough? I think most people around the league believe he's really competitive. It's more so, will his body hold up? Because we just have never seen a body like his in the NBA. So hopefully, you know, he does stay healthy, right? We don't want to see one of the great talents in the history of the league have his career derailed. But, I mean, that is the concern, right? If you have any doubt of whether Victor Wembanyama is going to have the career everyone wants to have, it's not, oh, we don't think his game will translate. It's, will he be able to stay on the floor for 82 games?
Kevin Sweeney, he covers college basketball in the NBA draft for Sports Illustrated. SI.com is where you can check out all of his work, and on Twitter at @CBB_Central. Kevin, really appreciate the time. Thanks so much for being a part of the show here in Atlanta, and we will certainly chat again soon.
Looking forward to it, guys. Have a good one.
You got it. John Chuck, we will be back. Sports Radio 92.9 The Game and the Odyssey.com app.
With TikTok ads, our revenue went up $10 million year over year during back-to-school season. Penn Foster is online education. TikTok is great because the reach is incredible for finding a lot of different types of audiences on the platform. Creator content at scale allowed us to easily develop and distribute creator-led ads. Our return on ad spend for TikTok is 21% higher than the next best channel.
Start growing your business today. Head over to getstarted.tiktok.com/TikTokAds.
Whatever happens today, plan to conquer it with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. True North Convenience Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. Our brew is truly perfect for any time of the day. During October and November, enter for a chance to win free coffee for a year. Check the True Rewards app for details or find the mobile app in your favorite app store. Offer valid 10/7 through 12/1. True Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
In a world of endless notifications, there could be an important one you're missing. Your kidneys may be signaling an SOS. With high blood pressure or type 2 diabetes, your kidneys could be warning you of early signs of damage, which may put you at higher risk for events like heart attack or stroke. But there's a simple test that can help spot a hidden signal. Ask your doctor about a urine test called UACR to help detect kidney disease and heart risk early. To learn more, visit detecttheSOS.com today.